a circle. There's some chairs here.
The perfection of God, harmony and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance.
Blessing of the prayer, and wash and bathe your face in light and radiance, and bring the blessing over your being as if it's your Murshid blessing here, our Murshid. Praise be to thee, most supreme God, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-pervading, the only being. Take us in thy parental arms. Raise us from the densest of the earth. Thy beauty do we worship, and to thee do we give willing surrender.
most merciful and compassionate God, the idealized Lord of the whole humanity, the only due we worship, and toward thee alone do we aspire. Open our hearts,
recognizing the heart. Illuminate our souls with divine light, recognizing the soul, drawing the line. This is, and thinking silently, this is not my body, this is the temple of God.
O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, all-powerful, remember, uniting our personal self with God. This is the union. All-powerful. The words come together on all-powerful. Creator, sustainer, and forgiver of our shortcomings, Lord God of the East, look to the East and to the West, of the worlds above and below. And if you've noticed, we've just drawn that line again. If you also notice, this is the motion of Zikr, Fauna and Baka. These are not insignificant movements. If done with the attention and awareness of consciousness, I am sure these prayers alone can bring illumination. And of the seen and unseen beings, pour upon us thy love and thy light. Give sustenance to our bodies, hearts, and souls. Now think of this gesture. It's including our body, our heart, the wing of the heart, the wing of the soul. And here, our blessed Rishina Vira. Deep heart. This is the root of the heart. So Mercius asks us to embrace this like a mother holding her unborn child. Yes, you know this feeling. Pour upon us thy love and thy light. Give sustenance to our bodies, hearts, and souls. Use us for the purpose that thy wisdom chooses, and guide us on the path of thy own grace. Draw us closer to thee every moment of our lives, until in us be reflected thy grace, thy glory, thy wisdom, thy joy, and thy peace. And as we say the prayers, Salat,
we pause with each name of the prophets of the East, Rama, Krishna, Shiva, Buddha. We take a breath in. We breathe in the breath of those beings and all of their intentions and their message and their feminine counterparts we absorb through the atmosphere in the in-breath. We participate and take communion with them. We invoke them in our being through the breath. And the prophets of the West, Abraham, Solomon, Zarathustra, Moses, Jesus, Mohammed, in this one prayer alone, we are participating in the universal worship. As Murshid set that one candle there, and then also remembering all those, whether known or unknown to the world, who have held aloft the light of truth amidst the darkness of human ignorance. And after we say all the prophets' names, we say that. All those, whether known or unknown to the world, we adore thy past and thy presence. It's here now also. Deeply enlightens our being. Enlightens our being. Even beyond illumination. Illumination is just the little light switch. Then and enlightens our being. We are totally able to see things clearly. So this prayer is so important. It's the universal worship in a prayer that we're invited to participate in every day. And again, I say, if you have to change the words, if you feel compelled because you don't understand why Murshid left the feminine in the silence, in the comma, in the breath, then always remember the original version. If we don't do that, it will be lost forever. We have the sacred task before us to hold this body of teachings intact. So especially my students, I would ask that you keep every word the same. You'll notice that the gestures get more subtle. So in the morning time, the gestures are quite a lot. It's a kind of yoga, and if it's done, Murshid says in the paper, and those of you that have this, purchase this little yellow booklet, he says, don't make the motions like this, that there's a grace and there's a beauty. Remember, his message was love, harmony, and beauty. And it said, out of love for each other, we have the desire to create harmony. And when there's harmony, we see that in nature also. There's beauty. That's an evolutionary indication that Murshid gave us. First, the heart opens. It's the religion of the heart. And when the heart opens, inshallah, God willing, we feel this towards humanity with a great equanimity. Not with this I love you thing, but I love you. I honor you as a human being, not as a woman, not as a man, not as a child, not as a dog, not as a flower, but your presence and how you emanate the divine and radiate that. And out of that love, then we wish to be tenderly in this world and in harmony. And then we create beauty together. Murshid Avira, I heard her give this instruction more than once, and also my friend and teacher Kuruna Maima from India. She would always tell parents who had abused children, make them reflect on something beautiful. Erase that impression from their mind. And anyone in this room that's had some injustice done to them, you use this meditation. She'd say, have them reflect on a flower and concentrate on a flower or something beautiful in nature that attracts them. And this is not just Murshid Avira, but this is the teaching of Vinayak Khan, the concentration practice that he gives. You meditate with eyes open, And then you trace it in your mind. So now we're replacing the impression with a beautiful, harmonious impression. And then you close your eyes, and in the mind you retrace that in the mind realm. This is a very esoteric practice, because if you can see it in the mind, then you know where your mind is. Someone asked me yesterday, what are Murshid's teachings? I'm surprised. This person has been in the community perhaps longer than I. And they said to me, how do you know Murshid has studied Buddhism? And I said, well, there's a whole volume on the mind. Healing in the Mind realm. It's all from Buddhism. If you've read it, you know that's true. And he also uses the word view, which is a very Buddhist term, with a capital V, not a little V. But you have to know, and this is what the children do, but we do this as a practice also. We can do it with many forms, a dot and a circle, an image of nature. The heart and wings is frequently used. And then you trace that object. And then you, once you get that concentration very strongly, you project it. You imagine that object in different places. So that's projection of a thought. It's very important. One of our friends here said that she went to meet her Murshid the first time, and she thought, well, this is a fuddy-duddy old man, and he's serving me tea and cookies, and that's real good, but, well, that's a pretty long journey to go see a fuddy-duddy old man with tea and cookies. And then she said, he said he invited me back the next week. And I thought, well, it's so far, and, well, he was a nice man, but... And she said, and I could not get him out of my mind. You can project that thought for the benefit of other people, not because I can project the thought, but when someone's upset, you project a thought of assisting them in some way if they need it. You should always check in. You check in, you ask, is this mine to do, first of all, and does this person need me to assist them? And if you do, and through this practice, you have the capacity to. And then also with this practice, and this is again what Murshida Vira gave, Karuna Mayima, Murshid, then you can change this, the creative aspect. It helps develop the air element. The mind needs that air element for creativity. And God only knows we need that. We need to see our world in a different way. And so then you draw the object again and again, and then you start to change the colors. Then you see it in this way. And then you know what happens? You completely remove the object, and you're in the mind. You're seeing the mind completely empty. People often ask, because they know I study Buddhism, what's the meaning of emptiness? This is a practice that gives you that understanding. And Murshid gave this practice. It's very clear there. Some of you maybe have done it with Murshid of Vira. I remember at Heartsong we did that practice. Do you remember that, Musa? At the retreat? With the dedication of Heartsong? You were there.
I was there.
That's when we first met. Come into the circle. And then you can look at your mind, just the space of mind, and then you're aware when a thought rises. And then it falls. No attachment, not. Just see it as pure energy. So anyway, the gestures become more subtle. And we're drawing these lines, but we're drawing them harmoniously as we make the gestures. No, it's gentle. Well, sure, let's turn that way.
It was after the fact that we realized that the sun is rising on us.
Oh, it sure is.
Yeah.
Actually, it comes so you can see the light.
immersion's instructions again. These are done with the eyes open. They seem eased with the fresh air. And that we cast our glance in a just before us. And we keep it steady, because again, that's an element of concentration. Murshid says in the paper on prayer, if the eyes are darting around, and you know, that's why it's so important to keep the gaze fixed in meditation. It calms the senses, certainly, but it also calms the mind. And you can experiment with that also. You don't have to believe me. You just cast your gaze in a place and see if it makes you feel restful. And then just start moving your eyes around and see what happens. Experiment with it right now. And then go back to that gaze. And then just move your dart your eyes around and see what happens to the mind and the body. You see that? Mm-hmm. You can look at the light coming through. With these nice dirty windows that really catch the light instead of letting it come in. That's okay. Diffuse. Sometimes too brilliant is so harsh. Most gracious Lord. And then the hands coming like this. Master, we're calling. You remember Kabir last night doing a call to prayer? This is that gesture. But look at this one, how beautiful this is. Like this straight, writing. If you study the Zoroastrian art, it's always these kinds of gestures, you know. You know, it's very angular. There's a strength. Circles are soft and feminine. Most gracious Lord. Think of that motion, how powerful that is. And then, Master, Messiah, and Savior of humanity, we greet you with all humility. And holding hands, left over right, this active principle of the right hand being supported by the feminine principle. Murshid was really a feminist. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I totally invoked the feminine. And if you see him in pictures, those that are interested, invite me, I'll bring my photos. He's very, when you see him in the casual photos, I mean, we always see him, but when you see him engaged with his students, very engaged and kind of feminine, you know. He was very, I had a great sense of humor, very light in his nature. You know, we think of him as being more somber or in his ecstatic states, which he also had that. It teaches us elasticity. We can't just be one way. Sometimes we have to stand in the center of the room and yell. And sometimes we just have to be in the silence and holding the concentration. And ladies and the zikrs, when they get very jalali, I'm going to tell you, we have a very important role. Don't always participate in it. That's a very masculine zikr. And you know, that's what's done to get people into war. They get themselves really riled up. Think of it. Has its purpose, certainly. And we should also feel that. But sometimes we have to become a little more relaxed to balance that energy. In some Sufi circles, and I'll tell you with the circles of the Quran in Europe, they always have the men and the women very mixed. So it's not a bunch of men together. And of course, the zikr is never done that way by an Quran. It's a melodic zikr. It's all focused on the heart. So I say, it's not, I'm not making a criticism. I'm saying, okay, there's an importance to that energy. But we have followed for the feminine minimalists that feel the call. There has to be a balance if it's lopsided.
And of course, this is why Murshid was a bit of a heretic in the Sufi circles. You know that he was, and attempts were made on his life many times, because he really deviated from the silsila that everybody talks about. He decided that was finished, and their papers gave public talk in the brown volume that says, "I owe every homage to my teachers and the Chisti lineage, but the account has been paid in full. It is finished here." He's giving a he's giving a word about the message. And this is a new message to move us into the future. So pulling out the silsila is of interest historically. But if you're really in the Anaiti lineage, it's from the past. Murshid said it with his own words. This is a new message, not an old message we're dragging with us. We left that behind. In truth, he also took the certificate that he was given, and he buried it in the earth, so it would be disintegrated, because respectfully, in the East, you offer things to the earth, or the water, you offer them to the element, or the fire. But he buried them, so there would be no record. How could there be if we go back into the earth? You hearing what I'm saying to you? I hope so. This is very important, and some of you that are drawn to do this work must know this. So again, I ask the ladies and those that feel the men compelled, and sometimes you may feel like you need that, but hold the post for the group. There needs to be a container, because in truth, I would suspect that some women have odd dreams after those occasions. It's a little bit pushing, if you know what I mean. Most gracious Lord, Master, Messiah, and Savior of Omnipotent, we grieve thee with all need. Thou art the first cause and the last effect, the divine light and the spirit of guidance, Alpha and Omega. Thy light is in all forms, thy love in all beings, in a loving mother, in a kind father, in an innocent child, in a helpful friend, in an inspiring teacher. Allow us to recognize thee as all thine. And remember, allow us to recognize thee and all thy holy names and forms, and then we just breathe in the atmosphere of those beings. The vibration. We absorb that. We participate. We come into communion. Allow us to recognize thee in all thy holy names and forms, as Brahma, breathe in. As Krishna, breathe in. As Shiva, and in. As Buddha, let us know thee as Abraham, again. As Solomon, again. As Zarathustra, as Moses, as Jesus. Deeply enlightens our being, and we look for thy blessing in the future. O Messenger, Christ, now thee, the Rasul of God, thou whose heart constantly reaches out, thou comest on earth with a message, as a dove from above, when Dharma decayeth, and speaks the word that is put to thy mouth, as the light filleth the crescent moon. May the star of the divine light, shining in thy heart, be reflected in the hearts of thy devotees. May the message of God reach far and wide, illuminating and making the whole of humanity as one single brotherhood in the fatherhood of God.
Low into them, this beautiful speech, and wash your face in beautiful light, and then we don our robe of light, and we say this from here. Purification breaths and I'll give us the directions. Remember the phrase Murshid gave us, Hazarab Nai Khan. On the inhalation, I inhale divine light and life, and then we exhale, I radiate the same. And I'm going to read from his paper because I want everyone here to remember the promise Murshid gave us on this practice. And I think everyone maybe has purchased one of those little packets that have been made of. If you haven't, I still have two left. And it says this. One?
One.
Okay. This is done before breakfast, standing in a relaxed position, preferably in the open air, or in front of a window. The feet are stable on the ground. And the knees, not the knees, and the knees, shoulders, and neck, and jaws are loosened. So everything's relaxed and open. And our hands are beside, just loosely in their natural way, beside our hanging loose. He says, inhalations and exhalations are done rhythmically, in a restful, quiet manner. Slower than the usual breath, yet slightly fuller. So this is an internal yoga. This isn't a relaxed breath. This is a purposeful breath. You're allowing the air, the breath, to come in and awaken and purify the different organs. Concentrate on that feeling of expansion and allowing the air to flow through the various channels. So again, inhalations and exhalations are done rhythmically in a restful, quiet manner, slower than the usual breath, yet slightly fuller. It is important to discover the natural rhythm of one's breath. Now, one might consider studying the whole body of teachings that Murshid gave on the breath, because he talks about this natural rhythm. It's only when we know our own rhythm that we know when something, aliens coming toward us, perhaps. So he says, while inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving Kalitha, can I have you listen to just this one sentence, my dear?
Sure.
While inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving, on the in-breath, and radiating the divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies and inspires and enables the soul to unfold. So that's the concentration that we do this week. So we breathe in the phrase as we're concentrating on the phrase, I inhale divine light and life, and I radiate the same. And remember, this was Murshid's instructions to us. And also remember the promise that he's given us, that what can be accomplished through this practice. So we begin breathing in and out the nose. The indication is that eyes are closed, but you do have to feel comfortable. The prescription is eyes closed. Light, and light, L-I-F-E. And breathing out, I radiate the same. Breath now changes, it is in the nose and out the mouth. I inhale divine light and life. Breathing out, I radiate the same. Changes, we breathe in the mouth and out the nose. I inhale divine light and light. I radiate the same. Purification breath is in the mouth and out the mouth. I inhale divine light and life. I radiate the same. Purusha Namikan then gives this breath practice with the Nayana. So breathe in the phrase. I'll say it and you just think it silently. And breathe in. Beloved Lord, Almighty God. And out. Through the rays of the sun. And breathe in. Through the waves of the air. And out. Through thy all-pervading life and space. And in. Purify me and revivify me. And hold the breath. And I pray. And then release. Heal my body, heart, and soul. And then this practice, raising the arms. I'll say the phrases for us. As we raise the arms, we inhale. And when the arms come into this pose above the head, you hold your breath while I'm saying the phrase. And then I'll say exhale, and I'll say the next phrase. There are three phrases. We'll do it three times. And in truth, the nyas, the purification prayer, or the blessing prayer, can be done three times. But we'll do this one three times, as it's probably new to some people. So we breathe in. I come from the perfect source, and I am bound to the perfect goal. Hold the breath. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. And release the breath with the blessing. I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. This is like that prayer in the pier. The clouds of doubt and fear are scattered by thy piercing glance. Can you feel that? Try to feel that as this comes down. The clouds of doubt and fear are scattered by thy piercing glance. It's like that. We're like a mountain. You know, in Buddhism, you sit in mountain pose. Think of yourself. You're like a mountain. Mount Kailash, the sacred mountain. And when you lower this, and nothing of the past or present can touch me, I rise above all, not with ego. This isn't the point of this. Someone wrote this. What am I rising above, and who am I rising above? And I wrote back, and I said, the conditions of the earth. It was such an odd perspective that someone would have of this prayer. Who am I rising above? No one. The life conditions that weigh you down and the impressions on the mind that keep you captive in a little cage like a bird. You have to be free. Spiritual liberty is what pure worship is. I come from the perfect source and I am bound to the perfect goal. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. Breathe out. I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. I come from the perfect source, and I am bound to the perfect goal. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. I live, move, and have my being in God. And nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. Now, he didn't say the future, because we're not there yet. But we certainly carry the baggage of the past. And we reflect a lot about it on the present moment. But he didn't, again, very Buddhist. He's trying to make us release the grasping of the past with this prayer. And encouraging us very directly by not saying the future, by grasping towards the future. I assure you, if you want to end your suffering, you won't cling to that past and reflect too much, and you won't project too much to the future, because there's nothing we can do about those two things. But we can use the energy of those things towards, like, striking a match to illuminate us, or the energy of those things to transform us. It's a real promise. If you quit thinking about the past or thinking about the future, you're here. No suffering in that moment. So can we move these chairs, please? And open the space up right here. And if we could make a semicircle in this area, stand. Participate in this blessing. You put your hands. You have to take the pictures.
Yeah, I know.
I thought we were going to do that.
Sure,
well, you can do that.
Yeah,
well,
when
you're posed, you get better. Yeah. So, we're doing this because this way, as the initiation takes place, everyone is really confirming their initiation, and if it's not on the certificate, that's all right. It's just to have a feeling of the blessing of whatever it's like. Okay. So when there's initiation in the places, you can do the certificate. And so anyway, this gentleman here, does he look like it? He was an experiment. we had a very strong discussion in the Sufi movement about the executive council meeting about how to bring people that may feel drawn to the message and find us maybe through the website but don't have teachers yet. What to do? And I said, well, anything's possible with technology. And they're saying, we're doing this because sometimes it's not sure. They said, you think it's really possible? And, you know, like, can magnetism be conveyed in that virtual reality, you know? And I said, well, it's all about vibration, isn't it? Is it limited to this? And so I said, anything's possible with Skype or the MS thing when we can see each other, you know? But also on the telephone, it's not the voice of it. And so this gentleman was searching and started a correspondence by email. And then I tested him a little bit. He doesn't know about that. And then I thought, okay, you know, sometimes you have to strike, you know, while the iron's hot, so to speak. So we did this over the telephone. And I gave him all of the things that we would be doing. I said, stand up and imagine this and that. And what. So we had a virtual initiation, which I think sucked. But he wanted me to put my hands on him, so I've done that a lot. And so now we're doing it with witnesses. And I will say to you,
just
you know, springs. And says, "Why are you sad?" And he said, concentration. Well, I also have another dancer. Thanks. He will be gently. She always has done this. You know, we do it wherever we are. She does it at the college, she does it in her friendships. But here and I want to empower in this way. She's been with her for quite some time. But believing doesn't do anything about her listening. Even if we don't understand. And Kalitha is one that really is a, perhaps more internal in the work and holding a close internal in the community. And that's kind of the role of that individual. So they do distinct roles. And so that's the role of Kalitha. Although she's also very operational. So, you'll take the picture moments, ladies, and get to work. let's let everyone else welcome Norma C.
your seeds that you have had a son, and yours the sacred light. The sacred light that encompasses all things. So while you're hugging, never to waste one moment, believe me, I will read something on your readship. I should like to tell you a few words. This is Pure Murshid Hasratan Icon from the Dutch papers on your readship. Class 1 film you read, by the way. I should like to tell you a few words that you may know what it means to become a Muri and initiated. Is it that you've joined a kind of study group to interest yourself in a kind of new study, a kind of passing interest that you have taken up for a pastime? Or is it something you've taken for the sake of curiosity? You hear him in this, right? And you see this being, like, I'm telling you now, ministers and ministers. You could do all that, too. Or something that you've taken up for the sake of curiosity, because you wish to look at it, what's going on there. If it is for a study, then it is a waste of time. For a student, libraries are open with books of all sorts. If it's for a pastime, well, then there are better occupations for that purpose. If it is for curiosity in this path, the curious ones will never be successful. What is it? Have you come into a new religion? What is it that you've taken a step forward in? The same religion you belong to? That step has come by your initiation. And the power of your initiation, you go forwards. Now, in this initiation, there are a few things which must be remembered. First, your attitude toward the teaching which is given, and toward the papers which are read.
It's not very often I come 20 years, I don't remember very many Murshid's papers read. I remember about that.
First, your attitude toward the teachings which are given, and towards the papers which are read. The right attitude is that they should not be taken as a study, but as something more sacred than an intellectual study. Therefore, the tendency to weigh, to judge, and to criticize is not right on the path of discipleship. In India, a phrase of a great saint is very well known. First, observe. If it interests you and appeals to you, then learn. And after you have learned, then judge it. Now another thing. What value should be set on the study? That it is given as a sacred reading. Well, it's not the main thing. Study is part of the purpose for which the groups meet. Study is part of the purpose for which the groups meet. But the most essential thing is the meeting of some groups together and in unison with their worship. When five Myriads are together, it is like being in the presence of Mercia. The unification and the silence are even more popular than the reading. Now there's a question, what is the relation to Mercia? Just a little more, you don't have. What is the relation of the Myriad to the Mershad and of the Mershad to the Myriad? And my answer to this is, do not think of any hierarchical relation with the Mershad. Only think of what relation your own heart and your own intuition tell you. If you think of Mershad as your brother, it is true. If you think of Mershad as your friend, it is true also. If you think of Mershad as your spiritual teacher, it is true. And if you think of Mershad as your servant, it is also true. And I pause here and remind you, should you have read it, and if you haven't, then I will also. Worship always said, I am not the head of the Sufi movement, and that's the name that he gave to this. It wasn't an order. You hear the difference between order and movement? Think of that. And the disciple people want to say, the Sufi movement is still very much intact, highly functioning, totally responsible for the building of the Dharga in India, financially, and being the caretakers of that space there. They're doing a lot of things. Let's see. And they haven't gone away. But worship is like one of the feet of this organization. The foundation. The footing. And not the head. The head puts at the feet. The head's nothing without the feet. Besides this, there's no place for any other discussion. Your Mershad is a human being, and as such, he is liable to shortcomings. You may give him your confidence and trust, and know him as a human being. Mershad used to say, there are many friendships in this world, but the friendship of a Mershad and a Myriad is the path of God, in the path of light and truth. Therefore, every earthly relation may have a chance to break, but the relation between worship and purity is not for the life on earth only. It is this belief which keeps our souls together, helping each other along the spiritual path. Practitioners and also Catholic practitioners. So, you don't have to be excluded. is it better than the other? Perhaps it was easier. Perhaps it was. Yes, it should be given together with brothers and sisters. Federated effort towards love and unity. Spiritual food is more important than tummy food.